The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, December 18th, 2023.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Kenneth E. Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine B.
My goodness, it's a wonderful, wonderful rainy day here in Sonoma County, and I have a special announcement. This is the last show of 2023. For the next two shows, we're going to be doing reruns. The station is kind of closing down for the holidays. I mean, we'll be on the air, of course, but I mean, we're going to do two reruns. And on New Year's Day, which I'm so excited about, is the last day of Kwanzaa, and we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful interview. You don't miss that show. It is just amazing. I mean, I found out so much about that holiday that I wanted to just share it with everybody. And yet you'll have a real surprise if you turn in on the first show of the year in January. Anyway, joining me in the studio this morning is Vesta Copesakes, who describes herself as a happily retired artist and community activist. But I can't help this. I'm going to throw this in, and she's probably going to beat me up. And also a retired publicist. That's all I'm going to say. Just retired publicist. For today's show, we'll be talking about peace, you know, and also talking about a peace tree that Vesta created and put. She's going to talk all about it. In fact, she just brought me two beautiful ornaments that I can put on my daughter's tree, actually, and we're going to thank her for that. And we're going to talk about that tree, and we're all going to talk about the age of Aquarius. You know, it's very, very interesting because in December 2021, we went into the age of Aquarius, you know, and it's so, to me, this whole time of the year is very interesting. We've been going through so much conflict, you know, so many wars are going on. You've got the war between Israel and Palestine. We have what's going on in Ukraine, and then all the other threats, you know, that are going on. It's mind-boggling. And Ken and I sat down and we watched Aquarius last night, and it was very, very interesting. And I asked myself, we watched the play, the movie Hair, which had the song Aquarius. That was their theme song. And, you know, it was very interesting because I was thinking, what was the promise of that play? What was the promise of that song? And this is when I looked at the lyrics. This is very interesting. This is what it says. Harmony and understanding, sympathy and trust abounding, no more falsehoods. No more falsehoods. In other words, no more lies. Golden living dreams of visions, mystic crystal revelation, and the mind's true liberation. In other words, we are liberated from a lot of the propaganda and a lot that's going on, and we become true citizens of the earth. You know, when I think of what does it mean to be a true citizen of the earth, you know, there's a line in Let There Be Peace. You know, the earth is our mother. United are we. Let us walk with each other in perfect harmony. That's who we are. We are on a planet. We are a family of human beings, and we have to learn how to get along together. And it's very interesting when you look at the promise of this song. I mean, it was just amazing. And watching the movie, all of a sudden I thought, God, things haven't changed that much. You know, and I'm recently, you know, just been thinking a lot about what is going on, that all these wars are happening. So it's a lot to think about. And I went and I decided, I said, I'm going to look it up in the dictionary and I'm going to see what is the definition of peace. Well, the definition of peace is freedom from disturbance, tranquility, and a state of period in which there is no war. The only thing I don't like, a state of period, You know, that me tells me that, well, maybe we're going to have a little piece here and a little piece there, but eventually it's going to erupt. And we have to find a way where we bring an end to it. We were talking before the show went on about technology. You know, when I sit down at my computer and I see some of the things that I can do and some of the people that are contacting me, we are communicating globally. You know, something happens 10,000 miles away from us, boom, we got it in 3 seconds. Everybody knows about it. Or if there's we find something new in the universe, before you know it, everybody knows about it. So it's very important that we have this technology, because this technology, I personally believe, is going to bring us peace, because we can finally communicate with one another and we finally know what's going on in each part of the world. So to continue with this, or a war has ended. You know, I know this is going to be a great conversation, you know, and I really want to encourage my listeners. You know, I don't get many comments, and I would like people to email me, particularly with this song, because this is a very sensitive topic. Peace is a sensitive topic, you know, and there's kind of a buzz going around that until we have that inner peace, we're not going to have that external peace. You know, and also what Vesta was saying before we got on the air is that she noticed, and I've also been noticing, that many, many of the cards they were getting all are addressing peace. So you know that it's, everybody's thinking about it. And particularly now when we're entering into this whole holiday of Christmas, which is supposedly the birth of the Prince of Peace. You know, supposedly this birth was supposed to bring knowledge and understanding that we could live together in peace and harmony. You know, and it's very interesting about why I decided to bring Vesta here on at the last show of the year is because she's a dear and wonderful friend of mine. And we get on the phone with each other and we have these great conversations. And I thought, you know, Vesta, let's have a conversation the last day of the last show of the year. Let's talk about peace. Well, let's see what we come up with. And we have some wonderful, wonderful comments from a surprise person, which we will get into when we get into the interview. You know, life is such a journey, you know, such a journey. When I think to myself, man, this is the last show of the year. When did that happen? I'm 83 years old. How did that happen? Yesterday we spent 4 hours with our great grandchildren, Ken and I. How did this happen? That we're great grandparents? You know, it's like life goes on. And what I've discovered more and more, especially as I age, life is simply one day at a time. You know, none of us know how we got here. None of us know where we're going or when we're going when we leave here. So it's so important. You know, I'm beginning to really see what it means to that idea of one day at a time. You know, and one never knows when that day is ending. And, you know, that's why I want to do a shout out to the faculty at the Santa Rosa JC, that they did a wonderful memorial for a dear friend of mine, Delashay Kimona Benson. You know, I want to give condolences to the family and friends of Delashay. Delashay was a friend and a fellow activist. She was a returning student at the Santa Rosa JC. She was a mother, a grandmother, a friend, and a powerful activist. She was not afraid to speak her truth and sometimes was hurtfully criticized, but she persisted and did what was needed to be done, and she's made a lot of changes. When I was at the memorial, I was really stunned by some of the changes that she made at Santa Rosa JC for students of color. And one of her themes was, when I had the honor of watching the speech she gives, and she gets up there, I mean, she's a little woman, kind of a little bit overweight, and she was very, 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 very dramatic. And what happened was she got up there and she says to the Santa Rosa faculty, she says, as students, we are not asking you. We are demanding that this gets done. And let me tell you, it happened. Well, rest in peace, my dear friend. Rest in peace. You've achieved a lot in this and a lot in this lifetime. And like I said, a special condolences to her family and to all her friends, and a big thank you for all she did. And I know she's out there. I know with her, with the way she was, I know she's out there watching us all. Well, Guess what? This is, like I said, the last show of the year, so I thought we would do a quick Women's Spaces pledge. Would you mind joining me, Vesta? And how about you, Ken? You know, this is our last show, the last show of the year. My goodness, you know, we've done over 500 shows. I mean, it is amazing. And also on television, God knows how many shows I've had, but it's just amazing being on the radio. And like I said at the beginning, I want my listeners, at least one or two of you, to send me an email, Elaine, ELAINEBHOLTZ @gmail.com, and make sure you write a comment. Tell us what you thought of today's show. Okay, so let's go ahead, folks. We're going to do the Women's Spaces Pledge. I'll say it first, and then you repeat after me. So let's go. One, two, three. My self-esteem does not depend on anything.
Outside of me.
My self-esteem
depends
on my relationship.
With myself.
And the great whatever. That's what I thought. All right, let's do it together really quick. One, two, three. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and the great whatever. That's right. I mean, I'm so tired of people saying, no, it's not grace. But no, it's the great whatever. It's the great woohoo. And that's it. You know, I mean, let's just get that.
Universal life force.
Well, like what we do every Monday, we do our history is our strength, which is very, very important. And I'm just going to do two people that I thought are very, very important. First of all, one of my favorite people, and that she was born December 22nd, 1912, and made her transition in 2007. And that was Claudia Lady Bird Taylor Johnson, First Lady from 1963 to 1969. She was an advocate for civil rights. She was the national chair of Head Start, and she led a beautification effort across the country involving environmentalism, conservatism, and anti-pollution. Oftentimes, because of the Vietnam War, people do not recognize what a powerful team President Johnson and Lady Bird were. I mean, she did some amazing things. She really did. So to her family, I will never forget her. She's always been someone that I've always admired. Well, here we have another birthday, which I think is very interesting. She was born December 24th, 1951, and made her transition in 1998. Boy, she was young. Marcia Gomez, she was an activist. She used pottery and sculpture from her Choctaw ancestry to teach and further demand rights for indigenous women of many cultures. She achieved NGO status for indigenous women in the United Nations, and she began the Foundation for a Compassionate Society. Can you believe that? The Foundation of a Compassionate Society. And here's a woman, you know, here's a woman of color, you know, a Hispanic woman, and who's had many, many opportunities just to walk away. And here she started the Foundation for a Compassionate Society with a group of 20 artists. And I'm really sorry that I didn't read this slower, but when I come back, when I come back in 2024, I'm definitely going to look up what this Foundation for Compassionate Society is all about, because that sounds like a real winner to me. Well, we got a lot to cover today, and we are going to take a musical break. And the song I pick, got to get with it. You know, we got to start out the year dealing with the hope of peace. Of course, you know, when you listen to the song Aquarius sung by the Sunlight Shakes, you'll realize that, you know, peace is still not with us. But, you know, we're getting closer. We really are, because I really believe the consciousness of the earth is raising. You know, even though you can see a lot of this negative stuff, it kind of pulls you over here, but then all of a sudden you say, no, that's not where I want to go. And we just have to hang in there. I really believe, I trust in the process. I really do. And I feel, I trust in the promise of Aquarius, and I trust what is going on. So let's go ahead and let's play Aquarius sung by the Sunlight Shakes. And when we return, I will be talking with Vesta Copestakes, who now likes to call herself, and I quote, a happily retired artist and community activist. I must add, an extremely well-read, educated woman with a strong research and journalistic background. One of my teachers, for sure. During this part of the show, we will be talking about her, the priest tree that she's been very involved with, that she coordinated. And I'm telling you, the ornaments are just fantastic. And we will be talking about Aquarius and all kinds of different things. So let's go ahead, Ken, and play that song. That is such a strong song. First of all, we're no longer thinking about Aquarius. We're there. Pisces is gone as of December 2021. Amazing. And then all of a sudden, when they go to the end, where's the sunshine? Where's the sunshine? I remember last year when there was no sun, we couldn't see the sun. We went out, I remember going out of my house and saying, hey, where's the sun? Because there was fires all over the place, and all of a sudden, there was no sun. And you really get an idea. You know, we have a lot of work to do on this planet. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. For you just joining, I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, the board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. And Without further ado, I want to introduce my guest. Joining me here in the studio right across from me is Vesta Copestakes. Welcome, Vesta. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you once again, Elaine, for spending time with me.
Well, like I said at the beginning of the show, you know, you and I have, we're just good friends and we have these wonderful conversations. And I thought, you know, let's have a conversation about peace and Aquarius. And let's, you know, this is the last show of the year. Let's have some fun.
You and I, we never know where we're going.
I know. So it's really neat. And before we go, I'd like to tell our folks a little bit about you. Is that okay?
You can do what you can do.
Beautiful piece to me. Well, Vesta Copestakes describes herself as a happily retired artist and community activist. She is fulfilling her retirement dream of being the artist, the musician, and writer she was when she was 15 before she had to make a living. Picking up roadside trash, experimenting with art and building projects, volunteering wherever her heart led her, gardening, depending, you know, spending time with people, and she loves taking care of cats. She calls her new life untethered. She does whatever she wants to do when she wants to do it, a dream so many of us have. It feels good and accomplishes a lot for her, and if she believes it's worth doing. Oh, that's such a mouthful there, and I love it. And also, like I said, she's a retired, successful publicist. Anything that you would like to add, Vesta, to that?
Oh, I think the part of it is to set a goal for yourself. I set a goal for myself a long time ago, and so I achieved the goal. There's nothing quite like achieving goals. And I remember watching the 1972 Olympics, and they were interviewing the athletes, and each one of them were saying, well, I set this goal for myself. And it taught me about setting goals for myself. So I did. I set a lot of goals for myself throughout my life. And this particular one was the I am achieving now. I got my house paid off. I'm living the life with a Social Security check that shows up every month. I tell you, it's like having complete freedom with a financial backup of Social Security. I can tell you it is the most amazing feeling to be untethered, to not have an agenda when I get up in the morning other than the agenda that I set for myself. It's astonishing.
Well, it's amazing you say that, you know, because it has a lot to do with self-esteem. If you know you can set a goal and then you just do one step in front of another and you're not afraid to fail here and there, you keep picking yourself up, it's amazing what happens.
I think one of the most important things is to not be afraid of failure and to not be afraid of vulnerability. Just embrace them instead. And then every time you accomplish something, pat yourself on the back. I mean, it can be as simple as washing the dishes.
I'm going to pat myself on the back because I learned how to do canning. Oh. And also I have to announce to my listeners, for the first time in my life, I actually baked a muffin and took it to a potluck, and I'll tell you, everybody bragged about it. And I thought, wow, that was my first. I was not a baker. Actually, Ken turned me into a domestic goddess.
Sure.
I want to welcome you again to Women's Spaces. And, you know, it really intrigued me. You described yourself as a happily retired artist and community activist. You know, I think it's wonderful that you, like you said, the reason that you are enjoying yourself is because you set your goals and now you have a certain level of freedom. Well, within that freedom, you decided to do a, quote, peace tree.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about that, because when I went online I saw it. It's a beautiful. It's made up. It's comprised of how would you call it? Jewelry, not jewelry. Yeah. How would you describe it?
Well, actually, the concept was that I'm a member of Occidental Center for the Arts, and that's up in Occidental, obviously, and they have an art gallery. And my friend Sue invited me to start creating art for this gallery because she knew that my commitment to myself was to be the artist, musician, writer I was when I was 15. So she said, okay, I'm triggering you. Here's the first challenge. And they have themes for the shows that come up. And this particular theme for December into January was Wonders of West County. And I thought, yeah, I could do a piece for that. But actually, I think really what I want to do is I want to do something that generates and spreads the concept of peace on earth. So instead of creating a piece of artwork, I will create ornaments for the holiday trees. And that they aren't just holiday tree ornaments. You can put them anywhere. You can dangle them from a window. They are not not seasonal, in essence. So then I went out looking for a tree that would be appropriate for hanging ornaments from that would show the ornaments. And one of the other artists, Barbara Lawson, also said, oh, I have ornaments to put on the tree as well. So it became a piece in the gift shop in the Occidental Center Gallery where I could display my piece ornaments. And this last weekend, we had an artist reception, and right off the people bought my ornaments. And I was like, this is truly wonderful.
it's interesting when you say everybody bought your
well, not everybody, but some people bought
some
my ornaments.
People bought your piece
ornaments, yeah.
Ornament. But you also said, we also talked about at the beginning that you noticed that you got more peace cards this year.
Oh my goodness, it's amazing. The cards that are coming in, my greeting cards, and of course I created a Peace on Earth greeting card as well, and which I still have to get out. I do New Year's cards because I can never handle the holiday itself, right? So, but the cards that I'm getting are Peace on Earth. It's amazing how many cards I'm getting that are Peace on Earth. So I know that there's a other people, not just me, obviously, who are wanting to generate the concept of peace on earth. It's one of the, I hate to say that, but one of the benefits and assets of such profound war that is going on right now. And what you were bringing up, the Age of Aquarius, and when we were young, it was the Vietnam War. And the Vietnam War was one of the first wars that was televised, where it wasn't just a movie, where it was war was dramatized with heroes, that people actually saw journalists on the ground, people getting killed, and there was a level of compassion because you saw videos of people being destroyed, their lives, their land, everything being destroyed. And the question was, why? And so now it's not just journalists anymore. It is individuals. I mean, like the George Floyd incident where a 17-year-old girl was holding her cell phone and recording what was going on to George Floyd, and that went viral. That's what's going on in Palestine right now in Gaza, is the videos that we're getting are people holding up their cell phones, videoing the atrocities that are going on. And that's why people are just, whoa, this is horrible. It's, you start empathizing with people because you feel through these videos what's going on.
Well, you also see what war looks like.
Exactly. It touches your heart.
You see, when you're sitting in your home and all of a sudden on television you see these destroyed buildings, you go, wow, my God. And people don't recognize what's happening over there could happen over here.
Well, we're usually protected because wars are always happening on the other side of the ocean. I mean, what's going on in Ukraine? More journalists are recording what's going on in Ukraine, but there are very few journalists in Gaza for many reasons. They're getting killed at an extraordinary level, the ones who are out there. So both of these wars, and in Sudan and other places around the planet, we're getting to feel the impact of atrocities of human beings on human beings. And none of it is making sense in the same way that it didn't make sense during Vietnam. Why are we doing this? Why? And some of it has to do with oil. And then it's like, okay, then we got COP28, and COP28 saying, well, we don't really need this oil anymore. There was a marvelous interview on PBS NewsHour from a former official in this world of climate change who explained that the people who run the businesses now are moving towards clean energy. So no matter what the politicians and the government say, the businesses are saying the money is in clean energy. Let's go there.
Well, most of the time the people are way ahead of the politicians anyway. It's very, very, very interesting when you start analyzing. Well, back to this peace tree. let's say I go to see it and I look at it and I think about it. What do you hope people walk away with?
The ornaments.
What was your thought besides the ornaments?
Because the concept of generating peace, I think that's really what my mission on this particular one is. We talk about peace. In fact, one of the things you and I discussed was the Age of Aquarius. And the Age of Aquarius is what you put into it is what you get out of it. So if the Age of Aquarius is about change, then you want to put as much positive energy into that change as possible. And because of the yin-yang of the world, there are plenty of people putting negativity into the future, into the present and the future. So those of us who believe in peace need to put energy into peace, understanding, love, harmony, the things that we are trying to achieve.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, because I just want to make this statement. You know, we've talked about several wars. We've talked about different positions on war, Vietnam and all that. But my perspective is I refuse to take a side. I'm not saying this one's right and this one's wrong and this one's wrong and this one's right. I'm saying it's just wrong to war, period.
Exactly.
And we have to start looking at that. And when I look at what's happening in with Israeli and with the Palestine, you know, people say, well, the Palestinians have also been doing things, but we have to look at how much more what are the Israelis able to accomplish with billions of dollars coming in from the United States and where the Palestinians do not have it. So there's not this equality of war. In other words,
there's never an equality of war.
people like to kind of put it that way, like it's both sides that are doing it. Well, both sides are doing it, but one side has a little bit more power than the other. And we as American people have to look at that. Do we want to support that kind of activity? Or do we? I would have rather if President Biden send in peacemakers rather than more. You know,
well, General Austin is on his way over there specifically to do that. And Sullivan has been there. And oh, goodness, the other fellow's name just went right out of my head. They have been sending their peace emissaries into that world, but they're not getting listened to. And to understand that Hamas also has billions of dollars, and they have generated those billions of dollars in other ways, and they have oil-rich countries who are supporting them as well.
We can't prove that, but at this moment.
Well, it's like nothing can be proven at this moment. All we know is that there's war going on, and whether it's Putin and Zelensky and the Ukrainians and Russians or what's going on in Sudan or any number of places, people are still using war as a way to resolve conflict, and it doesn't ever work. And so if we can ever get past the concept of, if you have a conflict, could you talk your way out of it? I was telling somebody the other day that every attempt someone had of raping me in my life, I was able to talk myself out of it. And it's amazing what you can do with words in a conflict situation. And really, if we could listen to each other, have compassion for each other, care. And that's what I love about what's going on in this particular situation of war. People are showing images and we start caring, really caring. We hurt with them.
Well, the most important thing that you're saying right now is to put caring first rather than revenge first, because it's the revenge when all of a sudden you have this idea, I've got to get even, I've got to do this. I mean, this is even between human beings, just couples. You know, you get mad at each other, you want to get even or something, or just your friends, you know. I mean, these are conflicts that maybe if you sat down and you talked to each other and were honest with each other and let each other know what you need, you might get a little bit further. Well, before we take a musical break, which I'm going to play a wonderful song. I love this song, Happy Christmas, the War is Over. But tell me, where can they see the peace tree, and how long is it going to be displayed?
Through January, I think the mid to end of January. It's the Occidental Center for the Arts, which is at the intersection of Bohemian Highway and Grayton Road in Occidental. The gallery, it's in the gallery, in the gallery gift shop, and they are open Saturday and Sunday, noon to 4 p.m. And then whenever there's an event, which there usually is on weekends at Occidental Center for the Arts, theater and music, live music, dancing, any number of things, the gallery is open before the show and during intermission. And that's when we have the most guests who come into the gallery. So it's just in the gift shop, my little tree with all my ornaments. I just keep making them.
Well, thank you for sharing that. It's very, very important, you know. I remember, I'll never forget, this was, I think, in the late 60s, the first time I saw that circle with the, you know, the peace symbol. And I remember looking at it thinking, peace on earth, goodwill to men, you know, and goodwill to men.
Humans, I kept going, humans, humankind, please. But let's extend it to the animals as well and to the trees.
And it's really.
To the rivers.
Really, you have to have a moment of silence for all this, because it's just mind-boggling. Anyway, we're going to take a musical break, and the song I picked and I will be playing is one of my favorite songs, Happy Christmas, the War is Over, because Christmas is only 1 week away, and it's sung by Sarah McLachlan. And Sarah McLachlan is one of these Broadway, a very famous Broadway singer, and she just does a great song. And you might be asking, you know, why is this song a perfect song for today's topic a piece. With the next segment, we're going to be talking about the Age of Aquarius. Well, when I saw the movie and began to realize once again that the whole thing was all about the Vietnam and the young people were saying enough is enough, the environment, you know, all the warnings we've had. I mean, when you think of all the warnings we've had for the older, the past 60 years, it's amazing that we haven't gone as far. I mean, here now they're telling us they're gonna authorize more fossil fuels in the area, which is stunning to me. But I just think that this is a very important song. And at the time that this song came out, it was a really, we were having what I call woke. Like today, that word woke. Well, we were having woke moments like you would not believe. I mean, for me, my whole world was torn apart. I mean, I was Gaga America. I come from I'm only a first generation American on my father's side. You know, they kissed the ground when they came here. So it was a really hard transition for me during the 60s and the 70s. I mean, in the protests and then women standing up. It was just so much going on. So this is a perfect song. And when we come back, we'll be continuing our conversation with Vesta Kosek, who describes herself as a happily retired artist and community activist, and we're going to be talking about the Age of Aquarius. So let's go ahead and play this song, Happy Christmas, The War is Over, sung by Sarah McLaughlin.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year. Just begun. So this is Christmas. I hope you have fun. Dear and the dear one, the old and the young. Very Merry Christmas and a Happy
Wow. You know, when I was listening to that song, you know, here we are, you know, 1 week away from Christmas. Next Monday is going to be Christmas morning. What I do is I spend it with my family, and we, you know, we have lox and bagels, and and we celebrate Christmas. And it's a very unusual holiday season. And why do I say it's unusual? It's because here we are at war in the Holy Land, where Jesus, who we're supposed to be celebrating, the Prince of Peace, supposedly walked. You know, and here these people are in such conflict. You know, to me, it's very, very unusual. And as we lit the Hanukkah candles, I began to think of all the confusion and all the separation that we have, this religion and this idea and that idea. And, you know, maybe we all have to come together. Maybe that's really what Aquarius is calling for us. You know, we come together in peace and harmony, and we have to go through a certain process. And it seems like all the evil is just, it feels like if you take a shovel and you dig the dirt up, all that is just happening right now. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holst, and sitting across the table from me is my dear friend, Vesta Kopsek, and we are going to continue our conversation, and we're going to talk about the Age of Aquarius. Well, Vesta, let's talk about the play Hair, where Aquarius is his signature song. What was happening back then? You know, what's your remember? How old are you?
74.
So I'm about 9 years older than you.
Correct.
So, you know, so I'm a single parent. I'm already going into school, you know, and you're a teenager.
Well, I graduated high school in 1967. So the land that I lived in was the draft. All the young men that I knew in school were being drafted into the war. And that was one of those, I was grateful I was a female because I wasn't going to be drafted, and it didn't seem at all fair. I didn't want to go to war, for sure, but I was so grateful that I was a female and I didn't have to go to war. And yet there was all my compatriots, the males, being sent off to a war, whether they were peaceful or not. They were simply taken away.
Well, it was an awful feeling, you know. Like you said, it was the first war that was recovered. And I remember Walter Cronkite on the news. He was so honest about everything. I mean, it was like you trusted information coming to you. And even that time, a lot of it was false.
I think we still trust information coming to us. The media that we choose to watch or listen to is the one that we believe. So that's why there are all these people who, like MAGA Republicans and all, they believe that the students, your stories and the words that are coming to them. And as we learned during Hitler's Nazi regime, that words are extremely powerful. Goebbels told us and defined for us what public relations was, how you manipulate people's minds by the words you choose. So, yeah, it's pretty intense. Right now, this concept of what is the similarity between now and then, it's that change is in the air, tremendous amounts of change. And this is the thing that I appreciate about, we mentioned Rio Olesky earlier. The beginning of every year, Rio does a reading for the next year, and he was talking about the Age of Aquarius because everything shifted on December 21st, 2022, into the actual Age of Aquarius, which is like a 200-year process. And so it's all about change, change, change. And one of the things that we learned when we were young is that we fed change. We made change. We said we're not going to do things the way things were done before, and we literally created a social revolution. And that was pretty powerful. And we got comfortable in as we aged. We definitely shifted in a lot of different ways, and the people who were the rebels became more old and mature. You know, and the young people these days are in fact activating in their own way. And that's one of the things, the hardest for us as mature individuals is always to, well, you have a different way of defining change in your life and different way of saying what you want for your future. And yet us as the elders, it's time for us to let go to those young people the way that we wanted our elders to let go to us.
Amazing. Well, you know, another thing that's very different about our time when we were going through with all the protesting and things that were happening. Of course, you had the draft. That was number one. And that was a real pressure on a lot of different people, for sure. You know, Ken always tells a story. He was on number 300 and something, so he didn't have to worry. But yet he looked at his friends that were going, and there was like a guilt, you know. It was a feeling of, you know, maybe I should be going too. I mean, it's
the way I felt. and felt relieved that I was a female and didn't have to.
Exactly. I mean, it was that way. But at the same time, what was different about what's different now is people were more comfortable. We had a stronger middle class. And I think that's what a lot of this young people evolving out of this stronger middle class, where people had good jobs and we had a stronger union at the time. There was more openness for them to go forward and to protest. There was more privilege at the time. That's how I think. I think people are a little bit more desperate. I mean, and I'll give you an example of that. A friend of mine was telling me that they just passed a bill that people get X amount of vacation time and sick leave. And I go, what? I've always gotten sick leave and vacation, no matter where I worked. I mean, that was not... You know, that was part of the middle class and the union movement prior to me even going to work that made that possible. So I think there's a lot of different things going on right now that did not go on there. And I think there's more awareness of all generations because of that. You know, the threat of Social Security being taken away, you know, what they've done with women taking some of their rights away, that there's more awareness. That's what I think.
Well, the awareness part of it comes from, quite frankly, the internet. The fact that we can communicate, citizen journalists, who aren't even journalists, people who just simply have opinions and share their opinions and share their feelings and share their angst and share their hopes. There's so much sharing going on that we are connecting with a lot of different people in a lot of different ways. Like I've always said, the way you get to someone's head is through their heart. And so if we can share what's in our hearts, and then people can share, oh, well, I had that situation, so maybe I can share with you how I resolved it. Oh, that's a good idea. I like that. I mean, there's so many things that with this level of communication, we can literally share many positive things as well as negative things. And I think that's the one that's the key to us in terms of generating peace and anything positive, putting positive energy and keep sharing the really positive things. Say, this is what I accomplished today, not just to yourself, but to someone else. We're saying, you can accomplish this. You really can do this. You know how many people are having anxiety attacks these days? Oh my God, it's astonishing. And the word of anxiety attack didn't really exist when I was young. The whole concept of you were stressed out. You were simply stressed out, took it to your bedroom and by yourself and tried to figure it out. It wasn't something you took drugs for or anything else. You just did.
The clock is moving really fast.
It does that, doesn't it?
I want to get that comment that Mr. Olesky.
Mr. Olesky, Rio Olesky. Would you like me to read it?
Yes, please.
Okay, because I asked Rio Olesky about his reading of and what you put
Talk
into.
Talk a little bit about him, who he is.
Okay, Rio Olesky is an astrologer, philosopher, a father of wisdom. His starwatcher.com, and he's really, really well known in the world of astrology as a teacher as well. And he's very, very deep and sensitive. He's proven to me that he really does know what he's talking about. It's not some lofty thing. It's science. So I asked him, what would you say about generating peace in terms of the Aquarius? What you put into it is what you get out of it. And this is what he sent me. Peace is a state of mind. For many of us, our state of mind is a reflection of what we perceive externally. If we are going through a difficult time collectively, one could personalize the pain and suffering, allowing it to determine and define who we are and what we focus on. Alternatively, one could cultivate a state of inner peace and project the state outwardly. The challenge is to be keenly aware of the events of the day and respond to them with patience and peace. That response is, for the most part, one of the only ways to alter a painful situation. If our actions can't alter it, great, or go for it, but if not, being in peace enables us to do what we can. Of course, this is based on our ability to be addressing whatever personal issues that might be preventing a peaceful state of mind. We don't want to exacerbate turbulent times by projecting our inner turmoil any more than we want the external turbulence to define our state of mind. That whole thing of coming to peace within ourselves and then repeating it, expanding on it. I mean, like when you run into a conflict and instead of talking about the conflict, how about you shift it around to the solution and the resolution? How about you say, hey, let's look at it a different way? And that's where we have our own influence and control. And in our own personal lives, and like he says, inner peace. If you're at peace inside yourself, chances are you're going to be able to generate more peace outside of yourself.
You know, it's real interesting because last week I had from a Unity minister, Dr. Reverend Patricia Keel, and we talked about that, how in order to have peace, the first step, you have to have that inner peace, because when you have that inner peace, you make better decisions. You know, you think out things a lot better than when you're angry or you're frustrated. But then again, when you look at the world, it creates, there's a lot of poverty going on, a lot of denial going on. And when that happens, people get angry and frustrated, and it's hard to have that inner peace. So that's why it's important to look at it and start asking yourself, how can I achieve it in my life? Or at least to recognize that you don't have that inner peace, that you have anxiety. And I'm having anxiety attacks. You know, because the anxiety is that you're afraid maybe you're going to lose something. You know, maybe it's not, like you say, you depend on that Social Security check. You know,
I'm not going to lose it. It's secure. My, I'm old enough. But I think
I'm not saying that. The way the economy, in one second, I mean, when you look, you mentioned not.
Well, you could say that, and then you could get all anxiety prone around where things are going economically. Or you could look at the economy in terms of more jobs, we're going in a better place. The concept is to have some sense of control. When we feel inside that we have some sense of control, we feel more positive.
Sometimes because you have the frustration, you can't even think to ask that question. See, that's the problem. The lack of security sometimes creates that. But I don't want to debate that. But I really realize that to have inner peace is very important. And to know yourself is very important. To be able to, you know, when I was watching the video of my friend Delachey, when she was giving this speech, and she said she had the courage to say, "We're not asking, we're demanding." That took a high level of self-esteem for her to say that. That took a high level of courage that oftentimes we don't have it because of the frustration.
Well, I could even look at Doctors Without Borders, and what that organization is doing is 100% positive in every country on this planet. Feeding that organization and what they do is essential to us feeling like we can actually do something. You really got to feel like you can do something about it. So you do something about it inside yourself, and then you do whatever you can externally to yourself. You have a conversation with somebody, and you show them love instead of conflict. It really makes a difference.
Well, we know it makes a difference. But what I'm saying is that sometimes that people are in such nervous, such fearful states, that they can't come to those conclusions.
That's why feeding people is really important. If people are hungry or they feel insecure, so whatever we can do to create a full belly and food, clothing, and shelter for people around this planet, the more they will feel at peace within themselves. It just simply has a huge impact on how they act.
It reminds me of a story when I was studying to be a minister. And I can't believe I once studied to be a minister, but I did. I think I'm ministering sometimes now.
You are. That's what the show is about.
What happened was, it was the Biafran babies. I forgot what country it was. They were these babies that were starving because they had no food. And I was in a circle of what I call very spiritual people, and all of a sudden they start saying it was karma. And I said, I don't believe it's karma. The only way I would believe it was karma if we all had equal opportunity. And that's what I'm saying. We don't all have equal opportunity. So when it comes to trying to have peace of mind or trying to do the logical, like, let's talk about it, let's sit down, sometimes because of the circumstances that are happening around, it's very difficult. And so what we have to do is we have to start working to find a way to let people feel a little bit more secure.
Well, even just volunteering for the Redwood Empire Food Bank, it makes you feel like you're doing something. So that concept of action, not just talking about it, not just thinking about it, and not just feeling about it, but taking some kind of action really makes a difference. You feel like you can actually be part of the solution instead of exacerbating the problem.
So maybe what you're saying is, even though you're in a frustration or a fearful place, find a way to take some action, find a way to do something, find a way to step out of yourself, even though it's difficult. And that's what I'm saying. We have to acknowledge the difficulty of it. But if you can just acknowledge it's difficult and do it, everything, I mean.
And move through. Just move through it and take some action. It really does help. Helping someone walk across the street, feeding a stray cat. There are so many things you can do that make you feel good. And so feeling good, like Rio says, inner peace, that generates outer peace. You do the best you can.
Well, let's end with that thought. I want to thank you so much. It's been just a wonderful, delightful time with you. And last words, you know, any special events that anything, how can folks get involved? Or you have a website, anything that you want
to say? I have no website anymore. It's the most wonderful thing. I just have a Facebook page, and that's as far as I go right now. But I really think the concept is just love one another, treat others as you wish to be treated. If the entire planet did that, we would not be at war. We would not be hungry. We would all be safe and secure, and we would feel better about ourselves and each other.
Well, that's a lot to think on. Thank you so much, Vesic Hope-Sex, for being such a great, great, great guest. Thank you so much.
I love you as a human being and your sweet husband who just supports you in every way.
Thank you so much. Well, you've been listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and I want to thank you so much for joining me. I want to wish you, as Hanukkah's already passed, a happy Hanukkah. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a happy Kwanzaa. I want to wish you a happy solstice, and above all, a happy, happy New Year. 2024, you know, we had a lively conversation today, and I think it's very important if each one of us just asked ourselves the question, how can I work towards inner peace? How can I contribute something to my community? And I think the best thing that I got out of this whole interview is the idea of doing something, and also recognizing that times have always been challenging. I mean, we were challenged in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, and now we're being challenged in 2024. But above all, I want to wish you a happy, happy New Year, one filled with good health, peace of mind, loving relationships, and continued prosperity. And find a place for yourself. Find a way to volunteer. And please, if you have any comments about this show or any shows, please email me at elainebholtz@gmail.com. And like I say at the end of every show, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. Thank you so much for listening. You've been listening to Women's Spaces, and I will be talking with you again next year. She can wait so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life. The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, December 18th, 2023.